nations were evil, corrupt, pagan, power hungry, Israel was to be a different nation. Israel was set up by God, and we've been reading about this in the Torah. We've been reading about how they came out of Egypt, out of slavery, into a new land where God could institute this with him as the king. But the king that was put in charge of Israel was to be different than the other nations. Not because Israel was better, but because Israel was to be, and this is really key, Israel was always supposed to be a light to the rest of the world, not an insular country where they would just practice things, the things of God. They were supposed to be a light to the rest of the world, to tell the pagan world that there is a God in Israel, and he is the God of all creation, and he's the God of the entire world. But the rest of the world had kings, and they had nations that were not following God. And Israel was to be this example. Now, I want to read here from 1 Samuel. Turn with me to 1 Samuel tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Israel was to be unlike all the other nations. They were to have a king that would rule with justice, with mercy. But God himself was ultimately supposed to be the king of Israel. Now, I want to look at 1 Samuel 8, verses 4 through 7. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel, the prophet Samuel. He was the last of the judges and the first of the great prophets of Israel. And he was governing Israel at that time, but he wasn't a king. And they came to him at Ramah, and they said to him, "Behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations." But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." See, the whole point was God was supposed to be the king of Israel. They were supposed to be completely unlike the other nations. And the only reason Israel had kings at all was because they were clamoring for a king so they could be like the other nations. But God was saying from the beginning, "I don't want you like the other nations. I want you to be separate, a special people, so that you can shine your light to the other nations, so I can bring creation back to me when they were separated from me in the Garden of Eden." But the thing is, whenever Israel said, and whenever we say that we want to be like other people, when we want to compare ourselves to others, whenever we say, "I like what they have, I want what they have," which is exactly what Israel was doing. They were seeing the other nations around them, the nations of Canaan and all these places that they had driven out, the nation of Egypt, which had the Pharaoh, which was a king, and they were saying, "We want to be like the other nations. We want a king just like them." But this displeased the Lord. But whenever we try to compare ourselves to another, we are always asking for trouble. And Israel was asking for trouble. And guess what they got? They got trouble, right? Because they wanted to be like the other nations instead of like what the Lord wanted them to be and set up for them. They wanted to be like the other nations. But you know what? This blessing that was inserted into the Musaf service, inserted into the Amidah, the kingship blessing, this was to proclaim that God was the king, not Israel's king, not like the other nations. This prayer was specifically inserted to reestablish that God was the king over Israel, and ultimately that God is the king over all the world. Psalm 47 verse 7 says, "For God is king over all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm." It doesn't say God is king over Israel. It doesn't say just Israel. It says God is king over all the earth. And this is the point. This is what God really wanted to get to through Israel, through the nation of Israel. So that's why this blessing and this prayer is inserted into the Amidah. The second blessing inserted into the Amidah during Rosh Hashanah is called the Remembrances blessing. Zichronot. Now, this doesn't refer to our remembering the Lord, you know, because you talk about remembrances. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean we forget the Lord, let's remember him during Rosh Hashanah. Of course, we need to do that, but that's not what this blessing is for. This refers to God's ability to identify and consider all aspects of a decision. In short, this means God is all-knowing and all-wise. What we're saying with this blessing is not, "Lord, let's remember you." We're saying, "God, we acknowledge that you know everything. You remember everything. You see everything. You are sovereign over everything. It is establishing, if you will, God as a king. And it is saying, you are all powerful. We are not. You are all powerful. Again, the whole kingship, the whole God is above us. It's God's ability to identify and consider all aspects of a decision. And he has all-encompassing knowledge, which means nothing gets by the Lord. Now, that should be a comfort to us, right? On Rosh Hashanah and really every day. It should be a comfort to us. But it's not a comfort if there's things that we're trying to hide in our lives, is it? If God knows all and God can see all, we're proclaiming that God is all-knowing and all-wise, that means God sees all the little things that we don't want to show other people and that we don't want to show God many times, or that we don't want to face even for ourselves, because that's what that really means. It should be comforting for us, but all too often, we're hiding things. We're hiding things from maybe our spouse. We're hiding things from our family. We're hiding things from our friends. We're hiding things from our fellow congregants, and we're hiding things from God. And we have to remember on this day that nothing gets past the Lord. Nothing gets past the Lord. You know, we say, I'll get here. I'll come tonight. I'll assemble. I'll get all dressed up. I'll, you know, go to services. You know, Jews all over the world are going to services because it's the obligatory thing to do. You know, in Christianity, you have the people that go to services on the Christmases and Easters, right? If you go to service on Christmas and Easter, okay, you've done your part, right? That's what a lot of Christianity thinks. Well, in Judaism is if you go on Passover and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you've done your part, all right? You're good. You're good. You're inscribed for another year, right? But that's not what it is, because you know what? We can't hide things from the Lord, and we can't hide even ourselves from the Lord. The Lord sees everything. He sees the things we do in secret as well as the things we do in the open. Now, turn with me to Matthew, the book of Matthew in the Gospel, chapter 10, verse 26. You know, we always say this. We always show God the things that we want to show God. We show our fellow man the things we want to show our fellow man. But we like to hide certain things, even from ourselves. But God sees everything. This is the remembrance prayer. But here's the thing. Matthew 10:26 says, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known." Okay? But the context of this verse is not that God is going to find you out, right? God's going to find you out because you've done this thing. That's not what the verse is talking about. It's not that he sees all your sins. And on this Rosh Hashanah, he's wagging his finger at you. Oh, I see that you did that thing. I see that you didn't, you know, make amends with that person. You know, traditionally in the high holidays, we're supposed to think about all the things we did this year. We're supposed to go to people if we have wronged people and try to resolve it so we can start fresh. It's a new year. But Matthew 10:26 is not in that context. The Bible says that he knows each and every one of us. And in fact, that he knows every hair on our heads. Okay? And if you look at a few verses after this Matthew 10:26, you see the context here. Matthew 10:29 through 30. This is what Yeshua says. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered." See, this is the thing. It shouldn't be a fear thing. It shouldn't be, God's going to find me out because I did all these things in the dark. The remembrance is prayer should draw on the fact that we should take comfort. Because God knows all. He knows every hair on our head. He doesn't let anything pass. He doesn't let anything get by us or by him. He's got you. He's got me. He's taking care of us. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that, but God knows. You know, sometimes he has us go through things. Fires, fiery furnaces, lion's dens, whatever you want to call it. Sometimes we go through those things. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. It doesn't mean that he let evil pass by and get to us, right? And he missed something. Sometimes we go through those things to help get us to the other side, to strengthen us, to show us, to wake us up. It's like the shofar blast. Sometimes bad things have to happen in a way or be allowed to happen to us to wake us up, to remember that God has got all this. And that really should be a comfort for us. We can take comfort in that tonight, that he's a God that remembers everything. That's the remembrance is prayer. And number three, this is the third blessing, and this is a powerful one here. It's called the blessing of the shofar. that is said on Rosh Hashanah, the specific one. This is the shofar, or the ram's horn, as it's called. It's blown at special events. And the shofar is blown when assembling the people. You know, a lot of times today, shofars are used, and they're kind of like overused. You know what I mean? They're kind of like used for all sorts of purposes, you know? But the reason for the shofar is outlined in this blessing. It's for assembling the people. To do what? To hear the word of the Lord. It's to awaken the people. Maimonides says, that Maimonides was a great sage of Judaism who lived 1,000 years ago. He said, the shofar symbolizes, get this, a new beginning. This is what Maimonides said. The shofar symbolizes a new beginning, and we can think of it as an awakening. It's a call to worship, but it's also an awakening. The sound of the shofar is to awaken us to something new, to forget about what's in the past, to forget about all the things we've done and who we've done it to, and maybe done it to ourselves, and to call us, to assemble us, and to awaken our spirits. When we sing the sound of the shofar, which we're going to sing tonight, the next line is the shepherd's calling, right? Sound the shofar. Why? The shepherd's calling us. Who's the shepherd? The shepherd is God himself. God is calling us to a special prayer, to awaken us, to, you know, to stir us up. Have you ever had a friend that's going down a path and they're really heading for nowhere, you know, whether it's drugs or whatever, and you could see it. It's like you see them heading towards the train. You're trying everything you can. Nothing is working. They're not listening to you. And you're trying to like shake them and awaken them, say, wake up. You're sleeping. You need to wake up because here comes the train. Okay? This is what God is saying to us. Wake up. There could be trains that you're walking right. You're right on the tracks. You know, you're walking. Rosh Hashanah, this prayer is like, get us off the tracks. Here comes the train, right? Awaken you to something new. New beginnings is what Maimonides says. Sound the shofar. Why? Not because it's fun to sound the shofar. Because the shepherd's calling. The shepherd, God himself, is calling us tonight on Rosh Hashanah. He's assembling us as a people. And more specifically, the Messiah is biblically the shepherd. Yeshua came to earth 2,000 years ago as the shepherd, right? All the symbolism, all the analogy about Yeshua is as a shepherd tending sheep to gather people back to the Lord. You know, like it's that the proverb or the parable where the one sheep strays and God goes and brings them back. Yeshua goes and brings back the strays. God is bringing back the strays tonight. Are you astray this year? I've been astray a little bit. He's trying to get you back in the sheep pen. You know, sheep, here's the thing about sheep. Sheep are dumb. Right? We're sheep. We're dumb sheep sometimes. Because sheep are dumb because sheep will just go in a direction, just go right off a cliff. Have you ever noticed? Have you ever seen that or heard that? Sheep will just keep walking and walking, and oh, there's a big cliff, and boom, they're gone. We'll do that. We're like the sheep. Thank goodness we have a shepherd that's calling us with the sound of the shofar tonight. What was the first thing Yeshua preached when he had his earthly ministry? Matthew 4:17. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, the beginning of his ministry, Yeshua began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Awaken, wake up, repent, get off the tracks. The train is coming. You're going to get hit if you don't stop. Repent. Why? The shepherd's calling. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen, this is Rosh Hashanah. This is historically the time when Yeshua is to return. Are we ready? Are you ready? When the shofar sounds, are your souls awakened? Have you woken up from whatever slumber you're in? Are you ready for a new beginning? Are you ready to hear the voice of the Lord? Are you ready for the shepherd Yeshua to bring you back into that sheep pen? That is what this prayer is about. Many times our Jewish brothers and sisters in the traditional synagogues, they just say the prayers. They don't know what it means. Maybe they just say the prayers in Hebrew, not even in English. You know, like Catholic people. Way back when, you know, in the 50s and 60s, when you would go to Catholic church, the Mass, everything was what? In Latin. Nothing was in English. Same way in the traditional synagogues, even to this day. It's all in Hebrew. So that's great if your Hebrew is your native language. But if you're like me, you need like the transliteration and the English and everything like too. So a lot of times we're saying these prayers in traditional synagogues. We don't even know what it is. They don't even know what it means. Well, we know what it means. The shepherd is calling tonight. The shepherd is calling. So on this Rosh Hashanah, we look at these three additional blessings. The kingship, the remembrances, the shofar, these give us a picture of the Lord. These give us a picture of the Lord. He is our King. God the Father, Yeshua Melech Israel, Yeshua King of Israel. He is the rightful king that Israel needs. They asked for a king. God gave them a king ultimately. His name is Yeshua. God made manifest in the flesh. Okay, John chapter 1. You know, God's kind of tricky like that. You know, he'll do that. We wanted a king. We wanted a man as a king. What does he do? He comes down to earth as a king for us. He gave us the king we wanted, and he also gave us himself. He's pretty awesome that way. But God is our king. Yeshua is our shepherd. And at the sound of the shofar, when you hear that sound of the shofar tonight, let it awaken your soul. Remember that Jewish people, and also remember this, Jewish people all over the world are saying these blessings, not knowing what they mean. Let's pray for them tonight. Let's praise the sound. Let's pray supernaturally. When the shofar sounds, it will awaken them to Yeshua. You know, Jews look for a sign. Greeks look for wisdom. Sometimes our people need a real sign. A lot of times Jewish people come to know Yeshua, not when, you know, they're having a tough spot or something happens. If you listen to a lot of Jewish people, they come to Yeshua when they're lying in their bed and all of a sudden Yeshua appears. I mean, it's something like miraculous, you know what I mean? It's like Paul, Rab Shaul, right, on the road to Damascus. God had to like shine the light, blind him for three. You know, we need a big sign as Jewish people. Let's pray. Let's not pray that Jewish people will be blinded this Rosh Hashanah. Don't pray that. But pray that God would awaken our people, that he would awaken them, and that he would use Karen Orr, and that he would use you, and that he would use all people throughout this Savannah area to awaken our people as the sound of the shofar starts to Yeshua, our Messiah, to awaken us to repent and to believe the good news. Because you know what? Yom Kippur is coming. Okay? The Day of Atonement is coming. We have to be prepared for that. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you because tonight we're going to hear the sound of the shofar. And no matter what's going on this last year, Lord, no matter how good or bad we were, Lord, we know when that shofar sounds, we can say, Father, forgive us of what's been past and help us to focus on what's ahead. Lord, I pray for new beginnings for everyone here tonight. I pray for new beginnings for our congregation. I pray for new beginnings, Lord God, that you would transform, that you would do something special in our midst, that you would reveal your son, Yeshua, throughout this Jewish community in Greater Savannah and Hilton Head and Brunswick and this whole area, Lord, that you would be that ray of light, Yeshua, that Karen Orr that goes out. And I pray that our people would see it with clarity, that it would be crystal clear for people that Yeshua is Melech Israel, King of Israel, that the scales would drop from our people's eyes, Lord, that their hearts would be ready, that, Lord, that you would supernaturally make occurrences and meetings in Kroger's and in Publix's, Lord, and in the mall and in different stores, Lord, that you would, we pray for divine events, Lord God, where our people would be there, Karen Orr people, people in the community, believers, would be able to share with Jewish people about Yeshua, about what he's done for our lives. We just pray that the scales would drop off, that hearts would be opened. Lord, and even for us, that you would awaken us, that you would wake us up from whatever slumbers we've been in, Lord. As we start this new year, Lord God, refresh us, revive us, as we come to you in repentance, as we come to you saying, Lord, cleanse us and help us to walk closer to you this year and focus on you as our rightful king. We don't ask for a king, Lord God. We know that this country, we have, you know, a president, we have congresspeople, we have leadership, governors, but you know what? You're our king, Lord. Of course, we need to follow our laws and our leaders, but Lord, you're our king. And we acknowledge you as our king tonight, Yeshua. And we thank you and praise you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you.